This episode of Nobody's Listening is brought to you by GoToMeeting.com and DrawYouAPicture.com, where you can get just about anything drawn for pretty darn cheap. Check it out. See what I've done for others. See what we can do for you at DrawYouAPicture.com. Also brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Use the code PODNAME121 to get your next domain for $749 or save 10% on other services with code BLUE121. That's BLU121.
I've got news that'll move you and shake you.
I got news for you, baby.
Sir, I have news for you. Sir, I have news for you. Sir, I have news for you.
Funny life stories and invite you to do the same.
How you doing, podcast people? This is Nobody's Listening, episode 104, brought to you the week of Sunday, believe it or not, April, what is it? The 12th. And this is going to be a little bit of a different show. For the next two shows, we're going to bring you the best of Nobody's Listening podcast from years past. My goal is for episode 104 and 105 to become known as the shows that you introduce your friends to Nobody's Listening with. And so we're going to go through and pick out the best and the funniest and the greatest clips. But before we do that, I want to thank you for sharing this with your friends. I'm going to assume you did. I'm going to talk to them for a minute, so I'm going to ignore you. Hi, I'm James. And Nobody's Listening has always been a show from the very beginning where we tell funny life stories and invite you to do the same. And it's clean and it's fun and we work hard. And we work hard to create community and to create fun for our listeners. And I hope that we've done that. I hope you'll enjoy this time. Before we get started, though, I do have a couple of business pieces to take care of. Because Nobody's Listening is brought to you by DrawYouAPicture.com and GoToMeeting. The old way to do business meetings is over the phone or in person, but the new, better way is to meet clients and colleagues online with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is like meeting in person, but less time-consuming and less expensive. Start meetings with just a click. Everyone sees your computer desktop on their computer screen, so they can follow along with you as you move from page to page. Use GoToMeeting for sales presentations, product demos, or training sessions. Even collaborate on documents by sharing screens in real time. I've used GoToMeeting and it is great, so you could try it yourself free for 30 days, but you must visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's right, GoToMeeting.com/podcast for a free 30-day trial. Thank you, GoToMeeting. This podcast is also brought to you by the generous support of our listeners. Carrillo, thank you so much. Dean, King Yun, Ivan Wong, Roman Willer, and the Doc Colin, who says, go check out IdQuoteThat.com. Myself and the LBB from 103, the professor, have a podcast called I'd Quote That. It's a show where we look at the memorable lines from movies and TV that we use in our everyday lives. Love your shows. Thanks. So you guys check out IdQuoteThat.com. Thanks to him and all our sponsors. You can support Nobody's Listening by go to NLCast.com. Click on Sponsor a Show. It's only $5. Peace.
Featured story.
Let's not waste any more time. Let's get right into it with episode 1 of Nobody's Listening. First ever weekly update. Seems like it was just yesterday. This is when I kicked a guy in the leg.
I was in Target. You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
And all of a sudden, this guy comes up by me. He's like, hey, James. And I turn around, and it's Dennis. He's one of our he's a guy I work with, and at my church, and so I'm like immediately wanting to introduce him to, because my family's all around, my sister-in-law, our sister and brother-in-law, my wife, and all these, and my brother. And so I'm like, hey guys, have you met Dennis? You know, and so they're doing introductions. Well, the thing is, and David knows this now, but may not have known it at the time, is Dennis only has one leg.
Yeah,
from the knee down. He was in a
motorcycle accident 7 years ago.
Lost his leg from the knee down. He wears a prosthetic, and he's really cool about it. And so I was wanting to show this off a little bit. So I start checking his legs.
James was doing, because he was tapping Dennis's right leg.
I start kicking both legs with my foot, and I found the one. You know, I couldn't remember which one it was, but I found one that was really hard. So I start kicking it over and over and over again, so that the point was so that the family would go, what the heck are you doing? Why are you kicking this man's leg? Well, dude, we're going about 15 seconds into this, and finally he turns to me.
He just says, pauses the conversation with everybody.
Says, James, that's my real leg, dude.
All serious.
It wasn't funny.
James, you're kicking the wrong leg.
It was horrible. And I was immediately feeling so stupid, because it's like, he's like, I was going to try to fake you out and not do anything. He says, but it started really hurting because you kept kicking in the same spot. So, yeah, I was just like, horrified. I hate getting in trouble. I hate doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing because you were trying to show it off. Like, I have a friend with half a leg and I'm kicking
but,
the
but
right
the thing
leg.
Is, here at work, everybody makes fun of him. I mean, because he's really cool about it, but I never do. And the one time I decide to break my own rules.
You mess up.
I kick the wrong leg.
Then, of course, there is the story from episode one. We call it Hallelujah. And for some people, it's their favorite story.
Our future story is, we call it Hallelujah. When James first moved to Kansas City, he needed some help doing some stuff around the house. So we were in the bathroom tearing a door trimming out and all this stuff. And
well, let me tell you what was going on. I had just recently gotten back from a missions trip to Mexico. And I had met several people, including a Mexican pastor that obviously spoke nothing but Spanish, very, very limited English, and had a Spanish-speaking congregation. And I had the opportunity to go and just help them out, help them build their church and stuff. But I was telling David how people in Mexico don't pronounce the J's in their words, like Juan, instead of, like, you know, somebody ignorant would say John, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Except this pastor, and I don't know if it's all if it's just a Spanish culture, Christian, you know, people that go to church would say this, but when he would say the word Hallelujah, he would pronounce the J. I don't know how Hallelujah is spelled, but it's something like J-A-H at the end. So instead of Hallelujah, this pastor would say Hallelujah.
Yes. So James, you know, informed me of all this, and we're sitting there tearing the door trimming off, and he's like, David told me the whole story. He's like, and he's saying Hallelujah, and then he keeps going and going,
Hallelujah,
and he gets louder and louder,
Hallelujah.
And the thing is,
baby,
I start laughing my butt off.
So I'm singing just like that.
Yeah, so I get up and I'm walking down the hallway
and
laughing.
I'm still singing.
In the background.
Hallelujah.
So go ahead and do like a very low Hallelujah and I'll keep telling the story. So he's singing in the background. I'm walking down. You can hear it in the background. And then I'm walking past the front door and this guy pokes his head into the door. It was the pest control guy. So I'm trying to stop laughing and talk to this guy. And James is doing this in the background.
Hallelujah.
And I'm trying to figure out, what do I say? I can't stop laughing to tell the guy what's going on. So I'm like, come in, follow me in. He's like, are you sure? I was like, yeah.
Okay, and this is where I have to take over, because I'm standing in the sink in the bathroom, fixing the bathroom, and I'm singing at the top of my lungs. Suddenly, my brother appears in the doorway, red face, tears streaming down his face, laughing at anything. So I'm like, man, I'm really funny. I'm making this dude
and
laugh.
He gets louder.
So I just go, Hallelujah! And that's when he steps to the side, and the freaking
pest control guy,
with the weirdest look on his face, steps into the room, and I'm just going, Hallelujah!
He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot you were supposed to come today.
I just said, dude, I'm stupid. That's all I can say. And David is so stupid and laughing.
So now if you ever hear us say Hallelujah, you'll know why. Episode 2 featured our most downloaded story and episode of all time, the cell phone flashlight.
David and I decided to tell the story that happened one time. He used to live with us back before he went off to Phoenix. He came out for a while before he went off, and he was working as a valet.
Yeah, I worked from 6 p.m. to 5 o'clock in the morning.
And sometimes it was sooner. Sometimes it was more like 3 or 4, but I would get in the habit of waiting up for him and hanging out with him. And So anyway, this week
I get home, and everybody's asleep. You know, my room is right next to their room, so I was like tiptoeing into my room. And
No, you got to start from the beginning, okay? Because you came in, and the house was dark.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
The house was completely dark. He goes straight into the bathroom at the top of the stairs from the front door, and I immediately think, I'm going to scare the living crap out of this guy. So I went, and I...
You were sitting on the couch, weren't you?
I was sitting on the couch, but he didn't see me. He went into the bathroom, and so I stood inside the living room right where he would see me in the moonlight so that when he saw me – oh, and then I grabbed a black T-shirt, and I wrapped it around my face so that I could see through it, but he would just see a black-faced freak, you know, standing in the moonlight. But then I realized about halfway into waiting for him that he would be coming out of a lit bathroom into a dark room. He would not be able to see anything. And sure enough, he opens the door, immediately takes a left turn down the hallway opposite of me, turns his back to me, and begins to walk down. Well, he didn't see me. He wouldn't even have saw me if the lights had been on.
The thing is, I had my cell phone out looking down
right.
the ground.
He was using his cell phone. He turned off the light. He didn't want to wake anybody up in the house. He's using his cell phone as a flashlight looking at the ground. Well, I know this because I come up behind him in the hallway, and I'm going to scare him. But I can't go down to the end of the hallway because my wife is sleeping in the next room, and she would kill me. So he goes into his room with a little flashlight, and then he turns around. Well, I just decide to stay in there. I'm barefoot, bare legs, got a pair of black shorts, a black shirt, and this black shirt around my face. All I can tell you is I see this cell phone square coming down the hallway, looking, you know, pointed at the ground, kind of just looking back and forth.
Dunna.
All of a sudden, the cell phone light stops. Dunna. And I hear, Dunna. Hold on, David. I hear, I'm just going to tell you this in pieces. I hear him go, and while he makes that noise, if you could imagine a cell phone moving back and forth.
And that's all you can
first
see.
First of all, just a little bit, like a triangle upside down, and then it goes up my legs and up my waist and up to the top, and it gets broader and broader and broader. And then tell them now your perspective of that event right there.
Yes, so I turned around. I went in the room, turned back around. I didn't even have the light on in the room. And so I came out the hallway, and then once my beam of light hit the feet of this man that just broke into our house, I am sitting there, I'm like, holy God, this is it. Jen's sleeping. Jen, how can I yell and, one, not get in trouble, but then call 911 or something. I don't care if they hid, but just call 911. So I go up his legs, and shake. I'm like, and I start flipping out. And I go I get to the head of this man. His arms are pressed against the side of the hallway, so I can't get out either way. He's a big man. I'm like, oh, he's all dressed in black. Oh, I'm sorry. And so he has this shirt over his face. It looks like he's a ninja. I'm like, a ninja man just broke into our house and is about to kill me with his cell phone in my hand.
Oh, my gosh.
And then once I saw his face, it took 2 seconds later. Because
I ripped off the mask. Because my first words out of my mouth was, shut up.
Jen's sleeping.
If you're going to die, do so quietly.
That was a horrible one.
Oh, my God. But that cell phone just starting little one-inch shakes.
Oh, yeah, it was like shaking.
And then it goes up, and it's like 3 feet by the time it gets to my head.
I was trying to get the full picture. What's my escape plan? It was horrible, guys. It was horrible.
Oh, if you'd only been there. It never gets old here in that story. Oh, man. Okay, episode 3 was another scary story revolving around scaring the mess out of these three guys in our basement. I'd also like to add, this is probably the first GOK moment, I think, Gospel of Kinnison moment, where we learn that you have to lie like the devil lies if you want to tell a good story.
It all revolves around telling this story to a group of teenagers who stayed the night in my basement, okay? But it all started... in truth. Last week we told you the best way to tell a lie
is to wrap it and start it in truth. Yeah. So here's the truth.
And then, well, I like the devil.
Exactly. When I first moved into my house, I went in the basement and I opened a pair of French doors into where the water heater and stuff are. And something swished past my head and landed on the floor next to me. I looked down and I swear to you, there was a 3-foot metal cross that fell out of the unfinished ceiling.
Was our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, on
the
cross?
No. Okay. This was filled with concrete, like it was taken off of the side of a crypt.
Ooh.
I kid you not. So,
do you still have that?
I don't know. I think I got rid of it because that was just freakish. It was just freakish. Okay, so there's the truth. So these guys are staying in our basement. And I decided to tell them about this and elaborate on it. So I told them everything I just told you. And then I said, well, guys, and it's dark in the basement and all this. I said, guys, just a few weeks later, you know, in the coming weeks, I started hearing things.
Okay,
and
I was with James when he was telling this.
Yeah, so anytime, David.
Okay.
Now that you, the listener, has put David into the guy you don't know what he looks like, you've now put him into the scene. Anyway, so I'm telling these guys, where was I? Anyway, I said in the coming weeks, I started hearing things as I would move things in my couch, my furniture, and I would just hear little whispers, and they would sound something like, "Go away, not here," and you know they're freaking out. So, but then one day I said, "Guys, I knew I had heard something. I knew that it wasn't Jen, it wasn't anybody in the house. It was a voice." And I knew I'd offended someone that lived in this home. And so, guys, I decided that I would speak to the voice. And I said, "What have I done?" And the voice said, "You must leave." Now, if you want to tell stories like that, all you have to do is talk while you're sucking in air. It's the freakiest sounding thing you've ever heard.
The thing is, when James is telling this, you know, first teenagers were like, "Oh, whatever, dude. James just messed with us." Eyes got bigger and bigger, and they just started being really quiet.
Because they're in the basement where I'm telling this story.
Their hands are on their lap like a proper person would do.
Like little kindergarten kids. Listening to teacher. Anyway, I said, so, you know, I told the guys, I'm like, okay, that pretty much freaked me out. So I stayed out of the basement for a couple of days, but it's a live-in basement, meaning it's carpeted. It's where we were going to set up. So I'd go down there.
It's the same basement where we knocked the holes in the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I think that was from the pilot episode.
Was it?
They haven't heard.
Oh, crud.
Or maybe it was episode one.
It was a Hallelujah story, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, a little inside baseball for those of you that have heard episode one. Anyway, so I keep getting interrupted, dude.
Who's interrupting me, dude?
I don't know. Maybe it's me. Now that clipped. Yeah. Anyway, so
you went downstairs. It's living.
Okay, I go downstairs and I start hearing, of all things, hymns.
Hymns.
Sing grace. How sweet the sound. And at this point, these are little Christian boys, okay? So they're getting really freaked out. And so I said, guys, I said, I don't know if those of you that go to church know that the hope of every Christian young boy or young girl is the name of Jesus to combat the forces of evil. So I said,
it's like, I wish I was home.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's no place like home. So I said, guys, what I did is when I heard this, I heard them mocking our songs. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I want you to leave. That name means nothing to me. And oh my God, you'd have thought I just killed their parents. Those guys, just a full body shiver went through them. Because that is like the ultimate power.
A cold breeze set into the basement.
according to all of us. But I said, so guys, the only way that you can combat, the only thing that worked against this spirit, this demon thing, was using your prayer. You have to pray in tongues. You have to use your prayer language, guys. You have to speak in an unknown tongue, and that confounds the enemy in it, and it leaves for a time. But guys, you know, he doesn't hurt anything. He doesn't bother anything. He's not moving stuff. He's not messing with my wife. It's just me. And so I don't really mind it. So guys, if you hear this tonight, if you're down here and you're trying to sleep and you start hearing, amazing grace, I said, just speak in your prayer language, and if you don't have one, just make up something.
So
just totally like jack everything that their poor little Christian hearts hold dear. And just to be clear, David and I are both Christians, so yeah. we've been there long enough to where, you know, some things are a little funny and you have to laugh at them, otherwise it's not good. But anyway, so if you're offended, send us an email and I'll explain it all to you. But the point was to scare the mess out of these boys. So we leave the room and I'm like, David, there's got to be more. We can't, you know, because you leave them in there just to be afraid. So I went and got a torch.
A propane torch,
a small one. And so here's what the boys hear on the other side of the room, because I like this thing, and they hear.
Well, the thing is, that the door was closed.
Yeah, we're outside the door. They're in there sleeping.
We gave them like 20 minutes to go to sleep or try to.
You know they weren't. They were in there talking. There was a couple of them. One of them on the floor, one of them on the couch, another one on the floor. And they hear that sound, and we open the door, and this all they see is this blue flame come dancing into the room. You couldn't hear a sound. I expected him to scream or something. So in a few seconds, I felt so guilty. I just flipped the light on. As I told you, there were two on the floor, one in the bed. There was a large black teenager hugging a small white boy. The small white boy had definitely jumped up into the arms of this big man, this big young man. And they were holding each other like their life depended on it. And the one boy on the floor was just quaking.
He had the covers pulled over his head. He was just waiting for death.
He looked like a mummy on the ground.
All right, I can't believe we're this far into this episode and we haven't mentioned that we used to do recap songs back in the early days. I don't know. We may put some of them in this show. We'll definitely put some in next if we don't. But here's a little bit. Recap songs were basically... We would just go through the entire show in song format, freestyle with a guitar, usually David playing, me doing the lyrics. And I was always trying to get David to sing, and he never would. but when he finally did one time, I couldn't help but jack with him. Enjoy. Come on.
I started mime.
Oh, we'll go.
No, forget about it.
No, seriously, I'll shut up. Go ahead, Dave. Do something.
There once was a lot.
Man.
Dude, I just got a cramp in my calves because I was flexing out of pure hatred.
There once was
my
a
lot. That
was an accident. I was just going to say, my knee.
I'm done, world.
My knee. No, I'm done. No, we're not.
One of my favorite stories has to be the story of a barrel hanging from a pine tree. That my brother lovingly called Torture Chamber. Enjoy this. I wanted to tell them the story of our tire swing in Yulee, Florida.
Oh, the Torture Chamber.
Is that what you call it?
That's what we called it. The things we're not supposed to speak of.
Hold on. Okay, we had this amazing rope swing. I remember it completely differently than he did because I was 10 years older. But this pine tree was huge. I mean, there's only two kinds of trees in Florida. Pine trees and oak trees, and this was a pine tree, 100 miles up in the air, big old giant rope hanging from the only branch this thing had. It leaned just perfectly, and it's hard to explain, but if you got in it, there was a board, okay? I'm sorry, a tire on this thing, and you could sit on top of the tire, somehow get up behind the tree, push off, and do flips and stuff in the air as you rotated in a circle back to the other side of the tree where you could time it perfectly every time, put your feet on the tree and push off and go back. And we just do that for hours. Mm-hmm. That was before you were allowed to come outside.
Yeah.
You and John.
And then after that.
After that, the tire fell off or something. And we put a big loop at the end of this thing and realized that a 50-gallon metal drum.
Okay, it was metal.
Fit
okay, I forgot.
Perfectly. In this, maybe it was plastic. We had plastic ones and metal ones. I think it was a metal one though. But anyway, it fit perfectly inside this loop. And so we began to insert Jonathan and David, who must have been 4, 5, 6 yeah. years old, into this barrel and swing them around. Okay, just pushing them around. And it was fun and all this stuff. But then, David, if you remember carefully, we began realizing that if you spun this thing –
hard enough.
In a circle, you know, it could make them dizzy. So we'd have fun doing that. But then we were like, no, not just spinning it back and forth. Let's wind this thing up like a balsa wood airplane. And dude, we one time
wound this thing up with them in it so tight that there were knots up in the rope. You know what I'm talking about? Where there wasn't rope. It was just a series of knots. It was 3 or 4 feet higher off the ground than it usually was. We had these boys in there and we let it go. And this thing was like this. It was like a speed of light. It was like
a blur.
It was a big circle just hanging at the end of a string. And we would laugh so stinking hard. David, I want to give you the opportunity to explain what this was like.
My side of the story, being tortured by my older brothers and sisters.
Inside the barrel of doom.
Well, the thing is, and we started out nice and fine. We were all, me and John, were all giggling and sighing like 4-year-olds should. And then,
because 4-year-olds aren't supposed to be tortured.
And then it was just like Lost. All the grown ups went to go talk. And me and John were sitting there next to the bucket. And they came back. Hey, guys, you want to try something new? Yeah, we want to worship the older brothers and sisters.
You guys loved us.
We did. So y'all put us in the bucket again, and we're sitting there, and we're like, "This will be so cool, Jonathan," and all this stuff. So then they start turning us. You know, it wasn't going that fast. You know, they were just wounding us up.
Yeah.
Well, after you notice your elevation, your ears start popping, and then you get higher and higher off the ground, and then they're like, "Okay," and they let us go. Well, the thing is, when a bucket has people in it, it's pretty much sitting straight up. Right? It's up and
vertical,
down.
Like yeah.
So you can get out of the top of it. Well, by this thing going spinning all the way around, it was horizontal to the bushes. So when we were spinning around, we saw yours, Amy's, and Leanne's faces.
We were laughing.
Like,
you guys were plastered to the back.
One of the things we couldn't move.
Centrifugal force.
We couldn't move.
Pushing you, and you guys were crying.
I always see the light. I see the light, and I try to see my hand go up to the light to grab the end, and gets slapped myself in the face because of gravity slaps me.
You guys,
I couldn't move.
You would just be crying in the barrel. And I don't know why it seems so twisted now, but it was the funniest thing in the world. And when it was over, the best part.
Oh, shut up.
The best part is the barrel would go back down to vertical again, where the opening was at the top, and we'd try to get them out, and they couldn't move. And so we would just pick up the end of the barrel and dump them out on the ground, and they would just lay there, however they fell, like two rag dolls, just moaning, like, oh.
We look like two old dogs that were having seizures. Every time I look up, y'all would be moving. I would try to go to y'all. And they would keep backing up.
They were so dizzy.
James, watch.
And you know what? The sad thing is we did that so many times.
That's when I get woozy on roller coasters and stuff that spins.
So you'd think it would have built up a tolerance. You should be able to be like an astronaut on that spinning gyration thing that makes people's faces bend back. You'd be like smoking a cigarette or something. Just like, turn it up, man. There's none compared to my brother.
I just close my eyes and see y'all.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that was so fun. Oh, dude, that thing just spin around vertical, horizontal rather.
I mean, it was parallel with the ground, dude. It was.
And the rope would be spinning so fast too that it looked like a bowstring. If you ever take a rope and just hold it and spin it around, oh my goodness.
It was horrible, dude. Because
the and thing you guys is, would you be so in there sick, going, you'd hear as you went around, the opening would come past your head.
Well, the thing is,
you couldn't hardly talk, so you didn't even know how to say
our
stop.
Our lungs were in my butt cheeks. Every time I sat down, I got out of breath.
Same freaking laugh. Oh, I'm crying.
Me too. Oh, God.
That hurts when you laugh that hard.
Oh.
All right, I hope you ain't driving, y'all.
Yeah.
Because y'all just ran off the road and killed your own self.
All right, we're going to do the recap song from that episode. Episode 5, it's a recap of the story you just heard, and it happens to be one of my favorites. Everything just rhymed. Everything and this song just came together. Remember, this is recorded live, one time through. No edits, no redos. Enjoy.
All right. Well, it's time for our recap song. If you guys don't know, every week we do a recap of the show in song, live to hard drive. Here we go. Da 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 da. La da 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 da. My brother David
over here
doesn't have much going on.
Nothing at all.
Doesn't even have a lawn to mow, so he sleeps in his pajamas. Every time I call him, he has a groggy voice. That's why he has no choice but to say there's nothing going on. And I'm not dissing you, my bro. What's up, dog? Hey, don't you know? I didn't poop on top of the flow. It's not the way I am. If it's not blinging like Sam, then I'm doing it in the can. Don't do it on my hands. Don't trail it down the hall. I poop large and I don't poop small. I do everything so big, dog. Even my log dog. Anyway, let's move along. Different part of the recap song. Don't you know there was a 50-gallon drum
that I hated
from my brother who sucked his thumb till he was 15 years old?
Yep.
We spun that drum so tight, it was 4 feet up off, all right. And we let that sucker go. I think he went forward in time a minute or so. Or maybe it was back, I'm not too sure. All I know is that I had to dump him on the floor. I'm surprised he didn't puke more than he did. I guess it was because he was only 4. And the gag reflex wasn't developed as much as it should have been, I reckon. It's the way it goes. Of course, if he had thrown up, it could have been his innards. And then my mom would have called the sitter. And then she might have called the police. And then I would have been in trouble with people. And then maybe David would have gotten sick and he would have to grow up inside a bubble. And that would be so bad. It would make me sad. At least I wouldn't have to wear deodorant around him. That's the way it is. When you got two brothers that are smaller than you, they can't fight back, and you can do whatever you wanna do. It's just the greatest thing I ever seen. A little boy frothing and spitting and drooling on himself in the back of a drum. Oh my goodness, where did that come from? Anyway, I just wanna thank you, all you Murloc people from WoW. From the land of Azeroth, you'd get a girl, but you don't know how. Yeah, 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 yeah. I don't want to diss you guys, because I know you have girls. I know you're married. I know you have children. They've just forgotten who you are. Because now you're a level 49 tauren hunter named Clydesdale. And you have had 3 pets in your life. One, you named Cat because you didn't know what the heck you were doing. Then you destroyed him. Are you sure? Yes. You got one of those big, giant, ugly birds from the Barrens, and you carried him around for a while. You thought, maybe if I name him something like Perk, or Chippy, or Satan Lover, that it would work. But it didn't. Because then, with the patch, you saw those giant snakes, and you said, how the heck do I get one of those? And you tried at level 49. That snake kicked your behind. Your little pixelated butt was scattered all over the floor. I walked by your skeleton the other day. Actually, it was your corpse. You didn't even have the decency to rez. You just logged off and cried, and you know you did, because deep down inside, you know you need to be with that little girl that you had with your daughter. What about little girl you had with your daughter? Beep! This is a clean podcast, Michael. You can tell people about church. Tell people at church about it. Anyway, let me wrap this up. Let me wrap this up. John, thank you for the poop song. For the story I made into a poop song.
thank you, all of you that are going to go on the Frapper map and tell us where you live so we can borrow dollars from you. Notice we don't have a PayPal link because we're not going to do that, I think. Anyway, go to the forums. Don't ignore them. Post something about Lorem from the WoW Plugin Podcast Vidcast. David doesn't know what I'm talking about. He doesn't even know what a Murloc
Absolutely
is.
Absolutely nothing.
That's the way it goes, my brother man. You made me laugh today so hard I thought I would have a conniption. And then I would have to go swimming to make sure it didn't go. And I'm calling out to you. This is a call out. Cause every time I fall out, I gotta run back to you. I'm losing all control now, and the hazard signs are all down. I'm asking what this life is all about. Anyway, it's all about. Please show me what this life is all about.
That was beautiful.
Oh, wow.
One of the things I love the most is when we think, you know, when we've planned out the show, we think we know what we're going to talk about. And it turns out that the main story isn't even the main story. It's the build up to the main story. It's the story behind the story. And the first time that happened was in episode 8 called The Phone Line.
Okay, future story. I call it The Phone Line. I just made that up, the line part. And so I was in 7th grade and I got grounded for like 2 months off the phone.
For what'd you do?
I don't know if I can tell you. I killed birds. I didn't feed them for like 2 weeks.
You're terrible. Mom raised birds, okay?
Yeah.
She raised a lot of birds, and you didn't feed them for 2 weeks and they died?
Yeah.
That's horrid.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. It was pretty bad.
And how long did you get grounded?
No. Let's ask me how many birds did I kill.
Okay, how many birds?
Like 10. Cockatiels.
Big ones?
No. Cockatiels, not cockatoos. Cockatiels.
Cockatiels are big birds.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah, the long ones with the thing that comes up the forehead.
You killed them.
Like 10 of them, dude. It was like D-Day. It was horrible. Because I finally got around to go doing it, and I'm like, and then you see one fly, and he just goes straight down. That was his last flight.
Oh my god, that's horrible. Oh.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Wait. Your story. Who cares about your story? This is the story.
But I got 2 points.
How many weeks did you get restriction?
2 months. 4, 8 weeks.
That's pretty good. I thought you said 2 weeks.
No.
So, let's do the division. That's less than 1 week a bird.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Pretty good ratio.
You cut off pretty good.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Do you want to still talk about the birds?
No, Mom would have killed me.
She came in. I was supposed to go to a
You had it so school. Much easier than
no,
I
no,
did.
No, it was hard. I was supposed to go to a dance at school that night.
Ooh. And you were allowed to go to dances. I wasn't allowed to go.
Mom called me and said, oh no, Mom called the office and told them, David, go straight home. Ride the bus home. Mm. And then they found the note and all the little caskets.
You're a bird killer, dude.
All the little caskets. I had to bury the caskets.
Yeah, there's no bird caskets.
I take a bird feather and stick it where it was buried. This one was Frodo. This one was Jimmy. So, yeah, it was pretty bad. I never told you this one, did I?
God, no, okay. Dude. This is terrible.
I told you. That's why I was like, should I tell?
I feel so guilty laughing. Stinking PETA activists are going to be stalking you. You're talking about stalkers. Oh, my
God. So I got grounded for 2 months.
You got off easy, homie. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I didn't even get Mom got touched soft. Or anything.
Mom got soft over the years because, anyway.
Well, I'm just glad they're, you know, I counted 10.
I called some white guy the N-word when I was a kid, okay? Mm-hmm. Didn't even know what it meant. And she bare butt whooped me. Okay. Then I had to write scriptures for like a month until my hand hurt.
I never did that.
Okay, and that was just that. And I went even on purpose. Here, you purposefully kill birds over the course of how many weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And
we're averaging five a week.
You didn't get a spanking?
No.
You just, anyway, you missed a dance. Well, I wasn't even allowed to go to dances, and I never even did nothing.
I truly believe that mom birthed the evil out of her first, and then right at the end, the grace came out, and the love, and the good.
Dude. Don't even push it.
We got yin and yang here.
You don't even know. You don't even know. We had two different moms, dude. I'm telling you. We actually did it. We had two different dads, but man, I'm telling you, my mom and your mom were two different ladies.
Yeah, that's what Liam says.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so
Tell the real story. God, now that I've survived that.
I got grounded for 2 months. And
I just can't imagine anything that's going to be better than that.
I wasn't allowed to talk on the phone or go on the internet and all that stuff.
They had the internet back then. See, they had no internet when I was a kid.
So when mom was at work one day and John was playing Sega, I ran my own phone line into my room so I could talk on the phone.
How did you do this?
I knew how to do it.
Did you go up under the house?
Yeah, up under the house. You could hear him up above me. Yeah, I was playing Sega or something. So I knew what room he was in, and then go four different, you know, 2 feet from there, and I know where I was.
Okay.
So I drilled and everything. It was like MacGyver, dude, at like 13. Drill a little hole. You know, I stop, wait for Jonathan, pauses his game.
He's listening.
I'm pauses it.
He's hearing stuff.
And I pause.
Well, see, it's important to mention that the entire house was up on concrete blocks. So David had like a good 3 feet of space to go underneath the house at any point. And it was hardwood floors.
And the possums helped me out.
Dude, I got to cough like a beast. Go ahead.
Okay. So I drilled a hole in everything and ran a 30-foot line into my room.
Where'd you get the phone line from?
You know how that place is. There's tons of stuff, dude. Okay. There was like Cat 5 cable. Cat 5 cable wasn't invented back then. It was there. So anyway, I hooked it up. I had my own phone. I hit it. I planned this for like months. Like once I knew I was getting grounded, I hit a little extra phone underneath my bed, some cable and all that stuff. So then once I got it, I hooked it up to my phone. I hooked it up to the main phone board and outside. And I was like, okay, the mission will go down at 0900. Actually, 2100. And when John's fast asleep and mother's on the other side of the room.
Yes.
Okay, all that stuff. So I called my girlfriend, Alana.
Uh-huh.
I was like, hey, Alana, what's going on? And then you hear Jonathan move in the other room. I'm like, dang it. I was like, hold on one second. Hold on, Alana, 1 minute. John walks down to the bathroom. You hear him. Comes out of the bathroom. Farts, go back to sleep. Okay. Hey. Yeah. I love you too.
I was wondering who was so important.
It was my ex. It was my girlfriend.
Your ex.
One of them. And so I did this like 3 nights in a row.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The fourth night, it was the most unlucky one. I'm like, hey, what's going on? What's going on, girl? She said, no, not much. Hold on. John just got up. Hold on. Wait for him to go to bed. Come back, Bart, go back to sleep. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it was him. And somehow I cracked up, and I started laughing. You hear on my door. I'm like, hold on. I try to stash the foam on the other side of the bed and everything. And John's like, I know you got a phone in there.
Jonathan, you're...
Yeah, turn me in. So dude. It was like 11 o'clock at night. And so he ran back. I'm telling mom tomorrow. And so I went to school the next morning, came home. Mom had taken the phone and ripped it out of the wall.
Oh, my God.
Broke my phone. I don't know. She wrapped everything up and threw it away or something. But my 2.5 hours of labor was worth more than that. So it was pretty crazy. But mom was really impressed. I knew how to run a phone line. But she wasn't that impressed to leave it there.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, she beat up everything. It was great.
And with that, that's going to wrap up this episode of Nobody's Listening, our recap episode, I suppose. And I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Creo, Dean, King, Roman, The Doc. Thank you. GoToMeeting.com.
Thank you to our spouses and our sponsors. Thank you to all the folks that have written in and emailed in. We're going to put a few of your voicemails at the end of the show. And we'll see you next week for another recap episode. Peace out. Remember, remember, when you're telling a story, tell it like nobody's listening.
The NLCast fun doesn't have to end. Join us online at NLCast.com for features, forums, webcomics, and all the social networking connections you can handle. Share your stories and comments via email. Nobody's listening to us at gmail.com or call them in at 816-298-0823.
You're listening to Nobody's Listening. So what does that make you?
Are there any zombies on your lawn, my friend?
Well, there's apparently a zombie on my bum, or there's a zombie peeing on my lawn.
The hit game that's not even released yet.
I mean, that's 3 minutes of my life. I'm never getting back.
It was actually 2 minutes and 39 seconds. But anyway.
Hello.
I saw bits and pieces of a brain on the wall.
I like your tricycle.
He's going to grow up and be my mom. I think renegade is a pretty strong word for banana hurdlers, okay? A bandolier of bananas, even. But I love you, man. I came to camp to get Jesus, and I got bruised. I'm assuming it's a Christian camp, because only Christians do stupid things like this. Everybody else sneaks out to drink. This is the coolest thing we could do that's bad. We'll send somebody in to butter mom up. Explain to the other mother, or to the mother.
It was two moms.
Told you it was a Christian camp. Speaking of Christian camp, this episode is brought to you by GoToMeeting.
Please don't delete me. I'm sorry.
As long as you don't have any bad stuff bookmarked, you're okay. Product Demo. I didn't know how to spell And there's this unicorn that comes on.
Super Mario Brothers.
No. Poco Loco.
Dead Rising.
Dead Rising. No. Rhinoplasty. What's
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. it's something to do with pinatas. I don't want to read no dumb text. And I finally did silence Tiki. Tiki is silenced with duct tape.
Butter on my head.
Can you say that on the show?
We put the toilet seat down in this house.
No, I've got my iPod on and I'm not listening. Get it? Because nobody's listening. And, yeah.
Speaking of CleanCast.
One of the many tools of the devil.
Dude, I am the king of segues, okay?
You lit liquor!
Hey, we're not professional at all. We're crappy as the next podcast. All right. Tigger English Muffin. Okay, we forgive you.
Boy, he would get preaching, and that little stump would go to flying. And I said, Jason, man, I think I've got to let one go. I let out what I thought was just going to be a little squeaker. It wasn't a squeaker. Pastor going, right around, spit flying, and he gets quiet, and then, and it just echoed. I just remember being there all by myself all of a sudden.
Something was running off, that's for sure. I sound dumb, y'all. Seashells are for cows. Don't you know anything, FODOTS? Participation, yes. Precipitation, tiny squat.
I'm not wearing any pants.
Fail.
Dang it.
See, I love the freaking die part myself.
Nobody's listening.
Yes, Dad!
Hello, James. This is the devil calling. I just got finished listening to episode 70, and now I have a whole lot of dirt on you.
Greetings, gentlemen of NLCast. This is Brett D. Ennis from New Hampshire. This took place a couple months ago, and really it's a simplistic story, but the context of it makes it amazing. It was a nice evening, and I was putting together a salad. My wife had just gotten home, and she went into our room to change. She came out wearing my favorite sweatshirt, and which was fine. I find that adorable. And I'm working on the counter space to the right of our sink, tearing up some lettuce and putting it in a big bowl. And I said, hey, babe, would you mind cutting up some vegetables on the counter space to the left of our sink? And she said, fine. Obviously, I'm very specific when I request things of her. I don't know why I added all those details. And there were a couple eggs that I had hard-boiled, and she said, hey, did you boil these eggs? And I said, yes. And she said, did you cook them well enough, which is a standard wife question. And I said, yes, I did. So she brings up, well, isn't it crazy that when you squeeze an egg, you can't break it if you just squeeze it in one hand, which is a popular thing that people know of. And I said, yes, that is crazy. Then we were silent for a few minutes. She's chopping vegetables, and I'm breaking up lettuce, and I see it in the corner of my eye. And it doesn't really register then. But in retrospect, it's pretty funny. I see her drop the vegetables and put down the knife and kind of eyeball the eggs for a minute. So I just keep breaking up lettuce and I see her pick up one of the eggs, and I, again, am not really paying attention. I hear a snap and kind of a squirt. And I look to the left, and my wife is frozen with egg all over her face, all over her hair, all over our fridge that incidentally was right behind her, all over the front of my favorite sweatshirt. And she's frozen and just kind of turns her head slightly to look at me. And it's funny because obviously squeezing the egg, that whole situation doesn't count when the egg is hard-boiled. And the other thing that we found out was I had not fully cooked the eggs because it squirted everywhere. It was all over our kitchen. And it was the funniest thing that had happened for a while. Thank you so much for this podcast. God bless. Out.
Hey, James. It's Manya from New Orleans, Louisiana. Woo! And I have a story, comment, and plug for my own podcast. So, but the story is kind of embarrassing, but I was on my very first date ever, and we were going to go see Monsters vs. Aliens. Don't laugh. I know. It's kind of lame. And so my boyfriend is, like, holding my hand, and my hand starts twitching. So that's kind of the worst way ever to find out that your hand twitches when you're nervous. I really like the show, and keep going. Another 100, then 100, and another 100. So I'm going for 400 for y'all. I think y'all should do 400 shows. And also, if you like Tudor history, listen to my own podcast, Tudor Nerd. Woo! That's about it. See ya.
Nobody's listening. It is awesome. I miss David a lot, but Trevor is awesome. James tells really funny stories. NL Cast is never boring.
Hey guys, this is Jeff Roney and from California, and I have a story. So I'm in an Easter production at my church. I'm actually not in this production. I was in the audience. They were showing the crucifixion. Jesus was on this cross. The Jesus' character was being held on by these ropes around the cross. For some reason, but Jesus fell off the cross in front of a church full of people. So there, of course, was shock. I'm thinking to myself, what if kids were watching this and then all of a sudden turn their parents and say, is this what happened? You know, does the pastor run out and say, well, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to eat, all of us. You know, what do you do? But the next thing that happened was even more interesting is his girlfriend was in the choir, and so she turned and said, honey, are you all right? And I'm hoping that Dan Brown wasn't in the audience at that point, and then he started furiously writing, see, you know, maybe that did happen. But it was a really surreal, strange situation to watch that whole thing transpire. And I've always threatened my grandma that I'm going to get that tape. My grandma started praying and said if I did it, I'd be in trouble with God or something. So I won't do that. But anyway, I wanted to tell you the story.
Jake Hanna eat for dear. Just for you that don't know, that is, I have news for you in Norwegian. Broke you.